and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Vicki Barker in London. That was hello. And this was goodbye. Less than 1 hour later, President Biden's flying visit to British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak ahead of tomorrow's big NATO summit in Vilnius, Lithuania. Though the two men share the same broad strategic goals when it comes to the war in Ukraine, they differ on President Biden's decision to send cluster bombs. The UK is among the 100 plus countries to have banned their use. There will be fewer flies in the ointment at Windsor Castle later. Mr. Biden's meeting King Charles for the first time since the coronation, focusing on a mission both men share, combating climate change. I'm Vicki Barker in London. Now with more CBS News, here's Deborah Rodriguez.
Breaking news from Russia. The Kremlin claims President Putin met with Wagner mercenary leader Yevgeny Prigozhin June 29th. That's 5 days after his failed mutiny in Moscow. A spokesman says Prigozhin told Putin his soldiers would continue to fight for him. Russia's defense ministry released a video today showing the country's military chief for the first time since his attempted ouster. Here in the U.S., the Northeast is getting slammed with a burst of bad weather.
Look at the people's doors.
Melissa Roberts lives in New York State's Hudson Valley, where at least one woman was killed trying to escape her flooded home. An entire summer's worth of rain has wiped out roads north of New York City in a matter of hours. The weather is messing up operations at the airports. FlightAware's Kathleen Bangs.
Where we're seeing the big impacts, of course, are out of LaGuardia, Newark, JFK, Boston, Philly, pretty much up the East Coast like you'd expect to see.
Almost 1,200 flights have been delayed or canceled in the U.S. so far today. The National Weather Service says flood watches covering more than 50 million people will be in place until at least tomorrow morning. 12 homes have been evacuated near Los Angeles after a major ground shift put them at risk of falling into a canyon nearby. KCBS Today's TV's Lauren Posen is in Rolling Hills Estates.
We're quite a distance away, but we've actually heard some of the popping sounds and noise as that house continues to slide down the hillside here. The good news, no one's been hurt. But this destruction is just devastating.
In L.A., everyone was vying for Barbie's attention. Botox lined the pink carpet as Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling walked at the movie's premiere at the Shrine Auditorium. Robbie wore a black, sparkly, vintage 1960s look. Gosling, who plays Ken, wore pastel pink. S&P futures down 5. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
At the Home Depot, we have laundry appliances that just fit. Fit your space, fit your needs, and fit your budget. Like a new GE Profile Ultra-Fast Combo laundry machine that can wash and dry a large load in about 2 hours. Without you ever having to transfer the load over. Final days to get special buy savings like the GE Profile Ultra Fast Combo Laundry Machine. Plus an extra $100 off select laundry sets. In-store and online at the Home Depot ends July 12th.
Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Designed for curious travelers. Viking offers all-inclusive voyages on all 7 continents. With no children and no casinos on board. Learn more at Viking.com.
When you're trying to hire, all that searching, screening, and interviewing can become its own job. You need Indeed, the end-to-end hiring solution that makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credits.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Saddle up, buckaroos. It's time to start the cattle drive with Trail Tunes, the new cowboy, western, and south of the border show on Wiscountry 105.5 WIRI. Every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., join me, Gene, Roy, Tex, and Rex with songs of lonesome cowboys, wicked rustlers, and sighing senoritas. From the sons of the pioneers to riders in the sky, Trail Tunes will have you wishing for those wide open spaces. Every Thursday from 7 to 8, only on Wiscountry 105.5.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 90. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 59. Slight chance for scattered storms. Tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 80. Mainly sunny skies and calm.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Hey, welcome back to the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Monday, July 10th. Kristen Lyerly's here with us, along with Aaron Zomers as well, on this National Kitten Day and National Pina Colada Day. So if you've got a kitten, you can share your pina colada with the little furball today. It's legal.
Could you get caught in the rain with your kitten and your pina colada?
I don't know. But my kitten and I, we are into champagne. So, you know, not much into health food. Here's the thing. I feel like my 70s music card should be pulled, that I did not think to have Rupert Holmes all queued up there for that with the Pina Colada song. I totally whiffed on that. But on this National Pina Colada Day coming up this hour, we're going to have Civic Media News Director Terry Bell at the end of the hour. He's going to talk about three things that you should know to start the week. We're going to talk a little bit about the state budget, the vetoes that Governor Evers made to it. And does that turn something into nothing, or is the Republicans' definition of nothing really something? But we're going to start with Congressman Mike Gallagher, who joins a long list of Republicans who have to find something, anything else, to create diversions from the lack of, you know, ideas and accomplishments. And it's not green M&Ms this time. It's not Bud Light. It's not rainbows. It's Barbie. Seriously, it's Barbie dolls. It's the Barbie movie and a map. And not the actual hurricane map that Donald Trump drew on with a Sharpie. Remember that? This is a cartoon map in a movie about Barbie dolls. And Kristen, I wish this was a joke, but apparently the congressman from, you know, your part of Northeast Wisconsin is making a big deal about a cartoon map.
Yeah, I don't really understand what's happening here. I mean, have you seen the map?
I've seen the map. Aaron, you've seen the map.
Yes, I will say, before I saw it, when I just read the headlines, I believed it. I've heard of lots of media. Let's say there's a gay couple in a side story that's released about some kind of game or movie, and they just don't release it in China and things like that, and they get backlash for that. I've heard plenty of those stories, so I believed it. People sucking up to China. And then I looked at the map. And it's like a bunch of colored blocks, and there's dotted lines all over. This is one of many dotted lines. And I strongly believe it doesn't mean anything.
It means nothing. And I'll hear reading from Politico. The detail in question is a dashed line drawn on a map off the coast of Asia that critics have identified as a contested maritime boundary that Beijing draws more than 1,000 miles off its own coast to claim the vast majority of the South China Sea as its territory. Now, when you hear that, you think, oh, yeah, okay, this has geopolitical implications. China is, in fact, doing this. They're basically trying to bully their way into territory in the South China Sea. And so if this was some kind of an accurate map that essentially made that claim, this would all have merit. Kristen, it's nine dashed lines written on a crayon where Asia looks to be a rectangle. There is nothing specific about it. And Aaron, didn't you say there's dashed lines all over the map?
There are. And actually, this one is eight, which is important because the one on the real Chinese map is nine. And this is not nine dashed lines. So if anything, they probably put a bunch of dashed lines, looked at it, and were like, oh, crap, we need to make sure this isn't nine so we don't accidentally do that.
I don't know.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's...
every time I look at the map and I think about this movie, I'm like, why would they intentionally... I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense at all to me.
Well, no. And what it does is it gives a reason for Congressman Gallagher, who leads a select House panel aimed at countering the influence of China, to say that the map, quote, illustrates the pressure that Hollywood is under to please the CCP censors, the Chinese Communist Party. While it may just be a Barbie map in a Barbie world, the congressman says, the fact that a cartoonish crayon scribbled map seems to go out of its way to depict the Chinese government's unlawful territorial claims illustrates the pressure that Hollywood is under to please CCP censors. I hope Warner Brothers clarifies that the map was not intended to endorse any territorial claims and was, in fact, the work of a formerly plastic anthropomorphic doll. Does he have any idea how silly he just made himself sound?
Well, I think Warner Brothers did. I mean, they said the map in Barbie Land is a childlike crayon drawing. And the doodles depict Barbie's make-believe journey from Barbie Land to the real world. And then they further go on to say that it was not intended to make any type of a...
But it didn't stop.
All of the extra publicity, we really appreciate you helping us reach an audience that we otherwise probably wouldn't have reached.
Right, exactly. And it tells you how ridiculous this is, that really the first two other members of Congress who jumped on this, Ted Cruz and Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. And really, that's all you need to know, is that they will grab anything, the green M&Ms, the Bud Light, anything for a distraction, a diversion, something to make people, you know, get them riled up. Because they have
the culture war caucus.
They have nothing substantive to say, and they've done nothing substantive at all. Let's take a break. It is time. Speaking of which, it's time for the All-Star break for baseball. We will talk about the Brewers' last game before the All-Star break, and we'll also get your full weatherology forecast all across the state of Wisconsin coming up next. You're up north.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM WAUK. UK.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website, civicmedia.us.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected on the Civic Media Network. CivicMedia.us.
Well, sure, we're getting blue skies for now, but does it last is the big question. We're going to get a weatherology forecast coming up in just a bit. I'll tell you, though, first that it is 71 degrees up here on Lake Wissota on our home base, 93.5 the tap. Waukesha, you're coming in at 63 degrees for people listening on the Shaw. Amory, our listeners for Lake Eyre, are at 67. The Mad Radio listeners in Madison coming in at 70 degrees. Wade Miley pitched six strong innings, and the Brewers made a first-inning run stand-up in a 1-0 win over the Cincinnati Reds on Sunday. The victory pulls the Brewers to within a game of the Central Division-leading Reds, and then they will pick it up and play three more games, but this time in Cincinnati when the All-Star break is over. Christian Yelich led off the Brewers' half of the first with a ground rule double to extend his hitting streak to nine games, and then Yelich scored on Jesse Winker's two-out single to center. And that was all the scoring for the whole game, in a game that went rather quickly, 2 hours and 4 minutes, tying the record for the shortest ball game since the Brewers ballpark opened in 2001, 2 hours and 4 minutes. It's also the end of a streak of 17 games being played in 17 days. And so now there will be a day off, except for Devin Williams and Corbin Burns, who will both be heading to Seattle for the All-Star game. And again, they will pick it up on Friday in Cincinnati. You can listen to the Brewers in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM, and WRCE News from the Center in Richland Center, 107.7 and 1450 AM. Aaron, I'm not seeing a note there, so we're still waiting on the weatherology folks, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we'll see what that is. I do know, I'm no meteorologist, Kristen, but I do know that there is a front approaching from the north that's going to give us some showers and thunderstorms moving in eventually, but 90s for one more day today before things turn a little bit cooler, and you can always hear your weatherology forecast during commercial breaks here on all of the Civic Media radio stations. So, Kristen, you have the perspective of being outside of Wisconsin right now. So as you look back in and you see Republicans talking about the vetoes from Governor Tony Evers on the budget bill, primarily vetoing that massive tax cut to the very wealthy, and them saying, you know, that this is a budget that offers nothing to the middle class, you really get into a definition of what is nothing and what is the middle class. And they seem to be struggling with that definition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That giant category that is the middle class that, like, let's be honest, it needs to be broken down, because the middle class is what are the numbers? The married couple making,
their idea of middle class is $34,000 to $360,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're at $360,000, you're well within like the top 10% of wealth in the state. And should you be paying the same rate?
It's a beautiful day at Misty's Menu, where the food is homemade and the people are friendly. The kind of place where the waitress knows your name and always greets you with a smile. The coffee is hot, the pancakes are fluffy, and the pies are homemade with love.
It's not just the food, but the people who make and serve it that make Misty's menu special. It's the kind of food that brings back memories of Sunday dinners at Grandma's house. So stop on down to Misty's Menu and experience the warmth and charm of a small-town cafe. They'll be waiting for you. Misty's Menu, Highway 13 South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Does your financial strategy include your hopes and dreams? What matters most to you? For over 100 years, Thrivent has helped clients like you find financial solutions for life's important goals. Explore a full range of options, from financial advice and investments to insurance, banking, and generosity programs. To have a heart-to-heart about your finances, contact Mandy Roberts, who you may recognize as Mandy Wright. Call her at 715-470-1303. 715-470-1303. Mandy Roberts proudly serves the Central Wisconsin area. For more details, visit thrivent.com/disclosures.
Bark in the Park at historic Ritterfield, home of the Rafters. Come for bingo, prizes, animal festive dress-up contests, groomer wars, and much more. Bring a donation and receive a free gift for you from Kohler Generators. Bark in the Park, July 12th. See you and your dog at the Rafters game, 6:35 start. Made possible by Current Technologies, Piggly Wiggly, Junkyard Bar and Grill, Simplicity Credit Union, Morrison Tree Service, LLC, and OMG Butchering, LLC.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises, yeah. I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bar as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Or we are going to have some really nice conditions here in Chippewa Falls for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair that opens up on Wednesday. So if it's not, you know, hot, if it's not oppressive for everything from the livestock to the people in the midways, that's a nice deal.
That's a great start to the fair. Oh, my gosh. Yes, definitely going to be quite lovely. Don't forget the sunblock, though, if we do get quite a bit of sunshine. And make sure to stay hydrated with proper fluids.
With proper fluids, yes. Laura, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Laura Lockwood from Weatherology. And I was, you know, Kristen, picking up where we left off on the tax cut that Governor Evers vetoed for the very wealthy. One of my favorite reactions has been from Ann Jacobs from the Wisconsin Elections Commission, who tweets how fun it is to watch Wisconsin Republicans do backflips trying to pretend that a household income of $300,000, which puts a family in the 96th percentile for household income, is middle class. So I was wrong when I said upper 10%, 90s, upper 4%, 96th percentile. There's nothing middle class about that. That's not to say that you don't have value. That's not to say that you don't deserve some kind of a tax cut. But what Republicans were willing to do to, again, blow away the surplus by sending so much of it up the very top and hoping that it trickles down is a recklessness that Governor Evers saved them from themselves.
It's totally reckless. It doesn't make any sense to me, Pat. Like, help me understand this. This is one-time money. So why would you use one-time money for a tax cut that is persistent? Like, one-time money should be used for those one-off projects, the things that you have been wanting to do. You know, it's like when you get a bonus at work and you're like, oh, we need a new car, or this is my chance to pay off my student loans or whatever. But you don't use that to go out and buy something that you can't afford in the future. I mean, that's not fiscally responsible.
No. And here's another thing that's not responsible is what you do with the numbers. And you again have, well, remember how before the vetoes, when this was first passed, and I said Republicans were going to package it as a 15% tax cut when it was on average, but only because so many millionaires got 16, 17% tax cuts while other people got so much less. And you have Republicans saying that, you know, so much of the surplus, you know, was not used properly, and that, you know, people missed out on such and such a tax cut. And again, they're using averages rather than letting people know that, you know, the person who makes the median income would have gotten something like a, you know, a $60 tax cut. It wasn't going to flow down to them, and they should stop pretending that this was some veto of a giant middle class tax cut when it was anything but that.
And let's remember how this all started. Remember, the governor toured the state and listened to people and heard what people wanted. And then he put together a budget that he presented. And immediately, what did the Republicans say? Within minutes of his budget address, the Republicans said, well, that's a non-starter. And they wiped the slate clean. There was no compromise there. They wiped the slate clean and started from scratch. And then they brought a budget forward, and the governor came back and compromised with them. Like, he worked with them to create a budget that wasn't nearly what he wanted to see. I mean, there was funding in there for charter schools and choice schools that, you know, nobody who's a public school advocate wanted to see. But that's what compromise is. So for the Republicans now to come out with official statements, like, did you see Van Weingard's statement?
I was actually going to go to that next. I was going to bring that up because, again, if you're unhappy with the other party, you know, if you want to express a little frustration, you know, sure, you can do that. But what Van Weingard said was, and he didn't actually use the words, he put asterisks in there, but still, an official statement, an official letterhead said that with his veto message today, Governor Evers said, F the taxpayers, they don't know a GD thing about spending their own money. How
it's disgusting.
Juvenile.
Yeah, honestly,
was that
the way I mean, see it is,
dude, put the coffee down.
Yeah. If you're in the heat of the moment and you swear on the floor, like has happened with State Senator mm-hmm. Johnson, that's one thing. That is something that, like I said, it's in the heat of the moment. Maybe you look back and you think, I could have said something different. But if you make a premeditated official press release and put censored swear words in it, it just looks like you're 12.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's the don't hit send right away. You know, walk away. You know, there's nothing that needs to, there's so few things where you need to hit send immediately. You can always get up, walk around a bit, come back and look at it and go, I could change that up a little bit. Van Weingard said no.
But this is different. This isn't a tweet. This was an official press release. It's not exactly like he could be super impulsive here. I mean, this is something that has to go through a little bit of a process. So this was clearly thought out and intentional, which makes it that much worse.
Right. And, you know, again, the governor proposed a 10% cut across the board for people making under $100,000 and for couples making under $150,000. And then it would, you know, that amount would diminish the higher up that you went, because as we've plainly established here, there are all kinds of people making $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 who are local community leaders, doctors, lawyers, accountants, and whatnot. It's not to say there shouldn't be any tax cut. But when Van Weingard and other Republicans are mad because their plan was rejected, a plan that would have given just 11 taxpayers, 11 people who each make more than $75 million a year, and each of those 11 people would get an average tax cut every year, a tax cut of $1.8 million. You're never going to have the high ground, no matter how much you try to fudge that math.
No, but the way that they keep messaging it and sending it out to the people as a middle-class tax cut is mm-hmm. just, it's reprehensible. I mean,
It is, but here's what they know. They know if they keep repeating it, enough people uh-huh. will believe it. So if you hear us and you go, oh, are they talking about this again? Yes, because we're going to counter, you know, misinformation or fuzzy math and let people know who had the real tax cut plan and, you know, who did not. And their idea of nothing is really something. Kristen, thank you so much. Appreciate joining us from the desert out there. Keep cool.
Love starting Monday mornings with you, Pat.
We'll do Thursday Hometown Health with Dr. Joel Charles. That'll be fun to talk about. So we'll do.
I can't wait.
Do climate stuff. All right. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be back with more after this. You're up north.
This summer, 5:40. This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Please join the leadership team from Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or seller. So please tune in on Tuesday afternoons at 3:30, where we'll be highlighting all things real estate.
Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors is your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday afternoon at 3:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
When times get dark, we can't see the help that's all around us. Let 211 be your guiding light for help with food, healthcare, and other resources.
211, how can I help you?
Call 211 or visit 211.org. 211, get connected, get help.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A mix of clouds and sun today, with daytime highs approaching 90. Winds out of the southwest 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows level off around 59. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow, daytime highs approaching 80, mainly sunny skies and calm. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 65.
That song, and that's what he was reminded of, hearing that a congressman from Wisconsin is taking it upon himself to get very serious and offer some very serious commentary about a cartoon map in the Barbie movie. But you can obviously understand why people like Kristen Lierley are contemplating, you know, whether somebody should challenge the Republican incumbent there in the 2024 elections. Well, to that end, there's news about another Republican incumbent and potential challengers in 2024, and that would be in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, where this morning Lawrence Andrea from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is reporting that Rebecca Cook, one of four candidates who took part in the primary last year, is saying that she will make another run for the 3rd Congressional District seat, the one that is now occupied by Republican Derek Van Orden, who defeated State Senator Brad Paff. Paff was the candidate who emerged from last year's Democratic primary. And the Paff, if he wants to run again, if he wants to challenge Van Orden in 2024, he would have to give up his seat in the state Senate, because a state Senate term is every 4 years. And so when he ran last year, it was essentially a free pass for him. He was in the middle of a Senate term. So if Paff wants to make another attempt to run for Congress, it opens up that seat, one that Republicans clearly believe they have a chance of taking back, and one that Paff would almost certainly hold if he ran for re-election. But Paff is considering a run for Congress, as is at least one of the other candidates, former CIA officer Deb McGrath, who, again, is thinking that she may give it another go. They all were relatively happy with their turnout in the primary, with Brad Paff getting the most votes because he certainly had the highest name ID, you know, being a state senator from that district and being a former cabinet official as well. But whether Paff runs again or not, it looks like Rebecca Cook is in the race for sure, and that Deb McGrath is weighing a race. And according to Lawrence Andrea's article, Missy Hughes, the CEO of the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and a member of Governor Evers' cabinet, is also considering a bid, according to multiple Democrats in the state. Cook won 11 counties in the primary last year across the 3rd District with a lot of support around the Eau Claire area. She's a small business owner. She said to the Journal Sentinel that she is really focused on running a race that people can get behind and that I think can clear the field. Rural voters are interested, I think, in the perspective that I bring. I want to represent those folks and really work for them to move the needle and make a difference in the lives of everyday people. Apparently, again, according to Lawrence Andrea's article, one factor in Brad Paff's decision will be whether the state legislative district lines are redrawn to give Democrats more representation at the state level. The state Supreme Court will hear a challenge to the maps sometime later this year after Janet Protasiewicz takes her seat. Expect a challenge to be filed to the maps. Whether that would be done in time for the 2024 elections, of course, is, you know, to be determined. But more importantly, will the case be resolved and new maps be drawn by the time candidates would have to file? So it's really not so much next November of 2024, but, you know, you're really looking more like March, April, May of next year. Will a challenge to the maps be heard that quickly, get to the state Supreme Court? Will the state Supreme Court then either pick another proposal for legislative maps, or will the court decide to draw its own maps, which it has the power to do? So there are a lot of what-ifs here in the decision on whether Brad Paff runs for his state Senate seat or decides to run for Congress. But Becca Cook said in the Journal Sentinel story, she painted Van Orden as someone tied to party leadership, not the people of the district. She dismissed Van Orden's recent talk of bipartisanship and his attempts to redefine himself, especially after being, shall we say, insurrection adjacent on January 6th on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. Cook said, at the core, Derek Van Orden is someone that is very ego-centered, really focused on himself. I don't think he's hustling for any of us. I think the special interest in Washington and kind of being Kevin McCarthy's lackey is where he has positioned himself. And really, if no matter who all decides to get into the Democratic primary and who emerges from it, it will be the most competitive House election in Wisconsin among the congressional races. But as we've talked about, there could be a competitive race in the 8th district against Mike Gallagher up in Northeast Wisconsin, and in Southeast Wisconsin in the 1st district, where Republican Brian Steil represents that part of Wisconsin right now. Expect National Democrats to be much more heavily invested in one or two or three of those races. There will not be a governor's race next time around. Senator Tammy Baldwin will be running. She'll be running as a relatively strong incumbent. You'll have the presidential campaign, but you will still see National Democrats focused on these Wisconsin congressional districts. If for no other reason than to keep from getting yelled at again and again and again, I would hasten to add, as a former congressional candidate, getting yelled at for pulling out way too soon, for essentially conceding the race to Van Orden in the 3rd district when Brad Paff ended up finishing much closer than people would have expected, and there's no telling what would have happened if the National Democratic Party and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee hadn't pulled out as early as they did. So, from the standpoint of the 3rd district, maybe the 1st, maybe the 8th, expect to see a lot more being done in those races and trying to keep them competitive and give voters a real choice come November of 2024. As I mentioned earlier, the Up North News Daily newsletter comes out around 5 a.m. on weekdays. And in today's edition of the newsletter, along with some of the features about Wisconsin's top tourist trap, which is rated as the Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha, and what it is that makes it so irresistible to people who are driving into Wisconsin. But also in the newsletter this morning is my editorial on the high price of lowering child labor standards. Because from bars and restaurants to meatpacking plants and factories, Wisconsin employers, they are facing a very tough labor market, one of the tightest labor markets on record. But the recent death of a teenager up north should serve as a sobering reminder of why child labor laws were originally placed on the books. The 16-year-old died on June 30th. 2 days after some kind of what's called an industrial accident occurred at Florence Hardwoods, a sawmill up in Florence County. And the incident comes not long after another Wisconsin-based company was fined more than $1 million for illegally employing more than 100 children, some as young as 13, to do cleanup work involving hazardous chemicals and dangerous equipment in meatpacking plants. Again, this is a Wisconsin-based company that cleans meatpacking plants around the country and employed more than 100 children, some as young as 13, to work with hazardous chemicals and dangerous equipment. The response from Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin and elsewhere has not been what you would call the pro-life, pro-child position, shall we say, but rather quite the opposite, looking for ways to make it even easier for kids to be in the workplace. Republicans in several states have sponsored bills to loosen restrictions on child labor. In Wisconsin, that includes a proposal to drop to 14 the minimum age at which someone could serve alcohol to seated customers in bars and restaurants. Other measures would allow for longer working hours on school nights and even roll back age verification for work permits. It does seem, sadly, that it is the latest instance of those who forget their history are doomed to repeat it. This all goes back to 1938. When Congress passed the Federal Fair Labor Standards Act, it was designed to protect children from exposure to dangerous conditions and abusive practices in factories and in mines. on farms and in street trades. But we are in an economy now with a record number of people employed. And we talked about this with Mark Jacob, you know, this time last Friday, that no matter how badly Republicans want to try to spin it, the economy is extremely healthy right now. More people employed than ever. And Republicans recognize this because they're giving in to the temptation to encourage more teen employment. Now, it's not just because of a tight labor market. Why else would you do this? Well, much like immigrant laborers, child laborers are a group that is more likely to accept low pay and unsafe conditions. They are less likely to unionize. And that's all according to Reed Mackey, who is director of the Child Labor Coalition, which advocates against exploitative labor practices. Mackey said, "You can't balance a perceived labor shortage on the backs of teen workers. The consequences are potentially disastrous." And again, we don't know the exact conditions that led to the death of a teenager in a sawmill up north, other than to say, again, we should be thinking long and hard about whether this is really the way that we want to go in this country. And if we do that, at what price does it come? The Iowa legislative session recently finished up, and they too relaxed child labor laws. They have talked about ways to alleviate the labor crunch, short of anything other than reforming immigration, which is something we've known needed to be done long, long ago. We knew the baby boom was running its course. We knew there was going to be a need for workers. And we know, because we've done it in the past, that we can reform the immigration system in a positive way, where there are set standards, rules that people must follow. And in so doing, you bring immigrants in, you help address the labor shortage, you do it in a way where people are documented. We know where they are. They're not off the grid. And instead, because too many Republican politicians want to politicize this issue, they have repeatedly torpedoed bipartisan attempts to fix immigration. There is overwhelming bipartisan support. But to overcome a Senate filibuster or some of the media campaigns that are waged against certain politicians, those politicians tend to back down because immigration reform is just not that high on their list of things to do. They know it must be done.
Okay, Gilbert.
But if they're going to catch heat from their right wing and they don't want to be primaried,
Zoomian's ready. Does he have the
And that's unfortunate because the solution to our labor shortage is right in front of us.
The Zoom meeting's ready. Does he have the information? Okay, yeah, he's getting ready to connect now. Thanks.
Come from outside the country who don't look.
This week's sponsor for Pet of the Week is the Collar Club, proud supporters of Southwood County Humane Society. They would also like to welcome you to Bark in the Park at historic Witter Field, home of the Rafters. Come for bingo, prizes, animal festive dress-up contests, groomer wars, and more. Bring a donation and receive a free gift for you. Bark in the Park on July 12th. See you and your dog at the Rafter game, 6:35 start.
What's that smell? You smell that? I hear that same thing every day. I'm Crust Buster Crockett, and I can tell you, I sure do smell that. That there's the sweet smell of cherry pie. That's the only thing you smell when Crockett septic pumper trucks come a-rolling down the road to pump your septic and holding tanks. Ooh! me. They sure do a good job keeping your system clean. And Crockett Septic can also take care of your porta potty rentals too. Just give them a call. 715-712-3456. Tell them Crustbuster Crockett sent you. Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie. Yeehaw!
Hail insurance is a critical part of your risk management plan. Here at Ag Country Farm Credit Services, our loan officers and insurance specialists work together to give you the best combination of risk management tools and hail insurance options. We'll analyze coverage levels and compare them to the cost of production and the crop revenue potential. Then we'll customize a hail plan to your specific operation. Contact your local Ag Country office to learn more.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Night, clear skies. Temperatures reach up to about zero. Tomorrow, ample sunshine expected. Dry with temperatures well below average Wednesday and Thursday, and highs near zero to near zero. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek.
What's up?
Highs near zero.
Yeah, you're right. I'll have to send someone a message. That's obviously wrong.
Yeah, there's got to be something wrong.
Up on Capitol Square, I know that place has been emptying out, but it looks like they've taken the light bulbs away from you too. That thing is really,
it's
dark. And I know they leave poor air in there in a closet, but boy, they really are getting near the end, aren't they?
With any luck, we keep here in 2 weeks. I'll let you know in another 2 weeks what happens.
Right. But it's like so many other construction projects. Like, you know, there's only a couple things left. But
hey, Calvin.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah, can we start giving away those state fair tickets, or do we need to wait?
It's going to be great once it's all set here. So
I don't know.
Well, we can. Well,
I don't even know when is state fair.
Next month.
Three things people should know as we get the week started.
Well, one of the things.
So we're into the.
Let's not do it today. Okay. I'll talk to Lindsay.
Obvious and affecting us all to great extent. Okay. That is the drought.
Hang on.
Wisconsin, 93% of Wisconsin is under.
What's going on, Gilbert?
Some level of drought or another, and you know. To those of us who live in cities, we see it around us.
Okay, we got a couple minutes.
Grass that ought to be green by now. But let's face it, what this really affects most importantly is farmers.
Okay.
This is getting to be a critical part in the growing season. And if things don't improve soon, it could be disastrous.
So let me ask you.
Pollination, especially when it comes to corn. And if conditions don't return to normal soon, that window is going to run out. The old expression is knee high by the 4th of July. Actually, this time of year, corn should be about waist high. And by most of my anecdotal accounts, I see it's about ankle high at this point.
Yeah. It is there. It's up around this area where we received a little bit more rain. Again, it is barely hip high, and it's somewhat sad driving past there. And when you consider not just 93% of Wisconsin in some form of drought conditions, but just about 28% of the state is in the severe or extreme categories, that again tells you there's a real need, not just for the occasional rain like we might see this evening, but we're going to need something sustained. And I don't see any sustained rainfall on the forecast. So this is not turning into a great growing season so far.
No, down here in southern Wisconsin, we're looking at a chance of rain in the middle of this week. But again, that's maybe for just a few hours. What we could use is maybe a couple of days of a slow, sustained, soaking rain. You don't want to come down too much too fast, or else on dry ground it just rolls right off. You need a chance for that ground to absorb the moisture, and that's what we have not been getting all year long.
If you look at state politics heading into the week, this really theoretically, we're moving into the quiet season. The legislative session is done. A state budget has been passed. The governor has signed it. He has applied line item vetoes throughout it. So you would think things would then get really quiet. They will eventually, but not quite yet, because there's still so much back and forth in terms of the reaction either to the vetoes or to what Republicans were willing to put up before the vetoes. And that's the second thing to watch this week.
Absolutely. There may be some more work on the state budget to do, even though the governor signed it late last week. You know, it's possible for lawmakers to go back and, come up with some new appropriations bills. But and especially since there's a lot of unhappiness about Governor Evers' line item vetoes. Speaker Robin Voss made a lot of waves this weekend, going as far as to call the governor a liar on statewide television. The question is whether or not, who's telling the story as to what Evers promised during closed door negotiations with Republican leaders last week. Robin Voss says the governor went back on promises he made to keep things in the budget. Governor Evers says those were not promises he made, and anybody saying such things was not in the closed door session. So it's going to be interesting. It's hard to imagine right now, with tempers being as hot as they are right now, and as you mentioned, this is typically the slow time of year for the legislature. Maybe when lawmakers come back in August or September, maybe temperatures will have cooled off enough by then that maybe they can, sit down and negotiate again. But I kept thinking about last fall and winter, when it seemed like there was kind of a kumbaya moment, when it seemed like there might be bipartisanship coming into the session. And there was quite a bit of, I think for Wisconsin in recent years, quite a bit of bipartisanship in crafting, especially the budget, in many respects, not all, of course. But boy, we seem to be back on square one now when it comes to any sort of harmonious feelings between the two major parties.
Oh, I do think it'll get worse before it gets better. I think that when legislators come back in the fall, even though the governor has said, hey, because of my vetoes, here's $1.5 billion to work with next year and $1.5 billion
Earl,
with
fix the year your after. Phone.
Let's do something about child care. And—
man, I don't know what's going on, man. But that's good. I can see you, huh?
They call pay your bill. That's probably what it means.
Oh, no, man, my phone. How you know it ain't your phone?
Oh, I know it ain't my phone,
what
brother.
What are you talking about, man? My phone is brand new.
Brand new ain't got nothing to do with the fool running it.
Hey. So you got to, I see you got your hair cut lower?
Earl, I keep me a fresh one, bro. Fresh one.
You see mine laid.
Huh?
Mine is laid, man.
No, it's not, Earl.
It's shorter.
It is?
It
looked the same as it did last time.
It looked the same, man. I just had a fresh one.
When did you just have a fresh one?
Saturday.
The missus cut it?
Yeah.
Well, it looks nice then if the missus cut it. I'm gonna go ahead and get it missus her prop.
Yeah, man. What we got you, you got that question mark look on your face, man.
What do you mean?
You're still trying to get something right, something figured out.
I am, brother. Oh, I think, man. I did.
Yeah, that's what I mean by the question mark look on your face.
Oh, man. I'm trying. What the world?
Yeah.
I'm trying.
It keeps
switching.
Yeah, you got you listed twice here.
Yeah, let me cut this one off. And cut my real stuff on. Please stop.
Okay, so I suppose, Calvin, he'll be joining us at some point in time.
Yeah, it looks like.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. My Grandpa Lou is the reason why my dad and I started racing, and I'm really proud to follow in his tracks. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. I've learned a lot on this journey with my Grandpa Lou, and the memories of my grandpa will always be with me. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Talking about Alzheimer's can be really tough, but if you notice something, have a conversation with your loved one. Encourage them to see a doctor or offer to go with them. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. The Alzheimer's Association provides care, support, and research to help you take control of the situation with your family and manage the disease together. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.